Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 8, Ma'apach.
On May 17, 1977, when election results made it clear that Menachem Begin would be the next Prime Minister of Israel, the man that came to the podium did not focus on the fact that this was the greatest political triumph of his life, the one toward which he had been working his entire political career. Rather, Menachem Begin spoke of the Tanakh, of his political mentor, and, in perhaps the most moving electoral moment in Israeli history, of his wife. And in so doing, Menachem Begin reflected the Jew that he was and the sort of prime minister that he was to be. While it did not seem real to many of the political commentators until the Ma'apach, or political upheaval, actually happened, Begin himself understood that he could very well win the next election, as the public had become weary of one-party rule after the mistakes surrounding the Yom Kippur War and the political scandal that surrounded the administration of the mid-70s. As Avi Shilon put it, quote, "The shock and disillusionment after the Yom Kippur War and people's disgust with the corruption and the stagnating establishment were the last straws," end quote. The major political shift took place in the communities known as the Eidot HaMizrach, Jews that descended from Jewish communities from Middle Eastern countries, many of whom in Israel would go on to form a bond of kinship and love with Menachem Begin. Right before the election, Israel's first televised debate took place between the man who had replaced Rabin as leader of his party, Shimon Peres, and Menachem Begin. As Shilon further tells us, the Likud knew well what had happened in America's first televised debate between Kennedy and Nixon, and therefore sought to ensure that Begin would come off photogenically, asking him to wear a blue shirt on camera, though he usually wore white, and hoping that he wouldn't sweat too much. It did not go according to plan, but it all worked out. As Shilon further tells us, quote, "When the debate first started, Begin's gaze constantly searched for the cameras. Furthermore, despite his blue shirt, he looked pale and weak and sweated just as profusely as Nixon had done in his debate. But the Israeli public is different from the American. What Americans perceived as a disadvantage was taken by the Israeli viewers as an advantage. The sweaty and excited Begin triggered sympathy. His appearance, which was ill-suited to the medium, actually made him seem to be a responsible and mature Jew who did not sleep at night because of his concerns for Israel." End quote. Then on May 17, as Begin made his way to the podium in victory, he did not focus first on the present, and certainly not on himself. And this, as Shilon further notes, reflected how different a leader he would be from those that the citizens of the State of Israel had seen before. Quote, "When the citizens of Israel huddled around their television sets, saw Begin speak for the first time, they saw a prime minister with an exceptionally different spiritual world from that of his predecessors, one who quoted verses from the Bible and praised Jabotinsky's theories. Tonight, the history of the Jewish people and the Zionist movement took a turn, the likes of which we have not known for 46 years since the 17th Zionist Congress, in which Jabotinsky proposed that the goal of Zionism was to establish a Jewish state in our time," Begin said. "Jabotinsky devoted his whole life to this end. He did not live to see the establishment of the state, and he did not live to see today's change. His disciples, who in the name of his teachings and their implementation sought to liberate the nation, persisted with patience and faith in democracy and sought to change the country. With the ballot vote only, we have come to this moment." So, as Shilon writes, Begin said, and Shilon adds, "It is likely that most Israeli citizens did not understand what he was talking about. But at the beginning of his speech, Begin was not addressing them, but rather the Etzel members who had supported him for many years, his friends who were accused of trying to forcefully seize control of power, the revisionist movement members who felt ostracized and were bitter because they felt they had sacrificed their lives for a country which had despised them," end quote. These words by Shilon make a valuable point, and it's worth elaborating upon it. In the moment, at his great victory, Begin thought of his political mentor, Zev Jabotinsky, the man that the British had banned from entering the Holy Land during his life, and the man whose burial in Israel Ben-Gurion had essentially refused to bring about after Jabotinsky's death. Begin thought not only of Jabotinsky, but also of those that had been so badly treated by Ben-Gurion's circle, but who had remained loyal to Jabotinsky's worldview. And Begin no doubt thought at that moment of those that had served under him in the Irgun, those that had sacrificed under his command. In other words, Menachem Begin reflected a virtue that lay at the heart of who he was, a virtue that he would also reflect in his feelings toward the entire Jewish people, loyal love.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
This virtue of loyal love was made most manifest when he looked to his wife Aliza, who had sustained and supported him when he was the most wanted man in the British Mandate, when he was hated and derided by Israel's labor elite, when he lost election after election. Menachem Begin dedicated words to her, paraphrasing a prophet. He said, "Zacharti lachesed neurayach. I remember the chesed of your youth, ahavat klulotayach, your bridal love, lechtech acharai bamidbar, that you followed me into the wilderness, be'eretz zruat mokshim, into a mine-strewn land." As I explained in Bible 365, this is a paraphrase of the book of Jeremiah from a passage read last week as the opening haftarah for the 3 weeks of mourning for the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon and Rome. In the cited passage, Jeremiah speaks of the coming destruction of Jerusalem by Babel. "Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, and evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." Then, even as Jeremiah proclaims the word of God describing the Churban, the destruction, the events that would ultimately conclude on the 9th of Av with the burning of the temple, nevertheless, Jeremiah continues with a theme of encouragement and love. And we read, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown." It is a beautiful passage, word given commonly in English that I have just cited. Kindness, "I remember the kindness of thy youth," is a mistranslation, I believe, of the often mistranslated Hebrew word chesed. Chesed, as I've argued in Mosaic, while usually rendered as loving kindness, actually means something a bit different. And we see this in this verse in Jeremiah. What kindness did the people of Israel show the Almighty in following him into the desert? Rather, chesed means loving loyalty or loyal devotion. When Menachem Begin told his beloved wife Aliza, in the words of Jeremiah, that he remembered the chesed of her youth, her bridal love, that she followed him into a land strewn with mines, he was praising her loyalty, the devotion and loyal love that drove her to continue to stand by and support her husband, especially during the time of the revolt against the British Empire, when every day she rose knowing that she might not see him again. Chesed, say the sages, is the central theme of the book of Ruth. Ruth shows Naomi chesed by refusing to forsake her, and Boaz in turn shows chesed to those that have died by marrying Ruth and perpetuating the family. Hence the beautiful blessing uttered by Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not forsaken his loyal love from the living and the dead." Chesed was the theme of Menachem Begin's victory, for suddenly this man made it known that he would be a prime minister in Jerusalem the likes of which Israelis had never seen, a man whose loyalty was shown at that moment to both the living and the dead, for the long since departed Zev Jabotinsky, the man that changed his life, and for his wife Aliza that sustained his life. The biographies of Begin highlight a singular moment following the election that parallels this speech, when he was asked by the press in what style, Be'eza Signon, he planned to conduct his premiership. And Begin famously replied, "Be'Signon Yehudi Tov, in the style of a good Jew." A good Jew was the title that Begin considered his ideal in his statesmanship. And the style of a good Jew would indeed define his statesmanship and his life. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.